my Southern California studio. It is Martin Zender here coming to you on a Wednesday. Yes, it is a Wednesday. And look, I have the largest table here. You can't really see the whole thing. You can't see any of it. But this is the nicest, largest table I've had to broadcast on in a long time. And I would like to credit Sandy Scott for that. She has really set up this room nice for me. She's a laborer for the truth, unsung. And yet, look, I have this wonderful place to broadcast from. I have encouragement. She opened her home to the Saints. Need to acknowledge that. Oh, went to see A.E. Knox's house in Southern Cal. Oh, I turned off my phone. I meant to give you the address. I think it's 2923 East 6th Street. Or is it 2329? Darn it, I wanted to have that address for you. Anyway, it was something standing there. Now, this house was built around 1910. Here was a young man, 22 years old, approximately, A.E. Knock, and he's providing a home for his family, builds this house with his bare hands. No, he may have had work gloves, I don't know. But this is a self-starter. This is a man who's not afraid to get his hands dirty. And he applied the same diligence and hands-on diligence to the scriptures when he saw the need to translate the Bible with a method. And this was the first time this was done. I kid you not, listen to me. This was the first time this was done since the scriptures were written. It was never done with a translation. You can't even say it was done when the scriptures were written because that wasn't a translation. It was the real deal. We don't have the real deal. The originals have been lost. There are three old manuscripts, the oldest manuscripts, and Mr. Knock took the best reading between these three. He assigned each Greek word, speaking of the New Testament now, assigned to each Greek word an English equivalent, and then never used that English equivalent for any other Greek word. It's consistent. It's consistent. And then never used two different English words for the same Greek word. A scientific method, not subject to interpretation. I mean, nobody can produce a perfect translation, but it's as good as we have in this eon, and it's the concordant literal New Testament. And he did that work at this house. And my sister Kelly has a photo there of me standing in front of the house. You can't see much in the house. It's covered with foliage, as many things are here in Southern California, which I like. I like the greenery. I like the palm trees. I like the flowers. Signs of life here. And what life came forth from this place? A humble abode. It's in a that's not a bad neighborhood. It's not maybe a great neighborhood. But you can see the buildings of downtown LA from the house. Of course, those buildings weren't there in 1910. There were some buildings, but not those buildings. And nobody knows this place is here. It's not a museum. Of course not. It's not a museum. Nobody knows about it except humble people who esteem this man. I don't make a god out of this man, but I recognize his work. Honor to whom honor is due. Tribute to whom tribute. I owe this man honor for giving us the Word of God consistently translated and bringing forth many truths and writing about many truths. We need to recognize these men among us. He's no longer among us. He died at the house you see in the photo on the website. He died there in 1965. He lived and died in anonymity, relatively. Of course, there was a small circle of people who loved the truth, who loved this man's work. He's just another laborer. We esteem Paul, do we not? We esteem Timothy. Paul esteemed Epaphroditus and Apollos. He esteemed these people. We esteem those who labor on our behalf. I esteem Sandy Scott for providing this wonderful room for me. We are all humble servants of God. And indeed, this may introduce my topic of witness. We're going to look into the two witnesses. God never leaves himself without witnesses on the earth. Never. Even if it's only the stars, the planets, the constellations, they speak of his handiwork. Just when you think all is lost, it's not. Elijah thought he was the only one left in his day. They have torn down your altars. They have killed the prophets. I alone am left. God apprises him, saying, I have left to myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Wow, 7,000. That's a lot. Here in the unveiling, we have two witnesses who testify to the power of God. This is a throwback, if you will. There's a common thread here going back to the building of the temple after the Babylonian captivity. Going to get into that. God's power is imperceptible. And so he needs witnesses, he wants witnesses, he raises witnesses, even if it's the stars. The voice of nature is insistent. Every avenue of knowledge shows the power of God. Although humans who dig into these avenues of knowledge don't always acknowledge the source of the power, of the wisdom. The men who do say, this is the finger of God. You cannot look at the cell and say, this is not the finger of God. It's a witness. It's a witness. One of my favorite movies, Twister. I know, I just diverged a little bit here. Love the scene where they're sitting at the kitchen table. And they're talking about the categories of a tornado. There's a woman there who's not really up on the tornado chasing thing, and she's asking questions. What's an F2? The category. The scale of the strength of a tornado. On F2, it'll rearrange the papers on your desk. What about the F3? Well, that'll rearrange the roof on your house. What about an F4? That'll take the house down the road. What about an F5? Everybody falls silent. And one man stands up and says, the finger of God. The finger of God, even in the whirlwind, it's a witness of the power, the strength, the majesty of God. He has the power to kill and the power to make alive again. Scientists talk about light, but what do they know about it? What do they know about it? Einstein probably had the most insight into it. Who knows how it travels? We dissect living things, scientists do. They dissect living things. They look at cells. They can name the little parts of the cell. I learned those in the fifth grade. Here's the part of the cell, the cytoplasm, the nucleus. But what is it? How does it come about? Nobody knows. Living tissue, dissect it. I dissected frogs in high school. What makes it alive? No scientist has been able to reproduce life in a laboratory. Now we're talking about this. Can we talk about the spirit now? If these things, like a frog and a cell and the planets, if these things are still a mystery to us, what can we say about the spirit of God? There's no explanation for creation except God. And yet human beings are trying to drive God out of the consciousness of this eon we live in. And now there's the Word of God. I'm going to quote from A. Enoch. As in nature, so in revelation, the vital power of the Word of God has never been lacking among the sons of Adam. We've had this vitality with us. Haven't always had a good translation, but now we do. And no matter how I'll continue to quote, however much it may be opposed, his written revelation works wonders in the midst of men and testifies to the living, loving God. But who knows about it? But it's a witness. Before there was the Word, the silent witness of the stars bore witness to the mighty creative prowess of God. And how can you look at a frog, or a flower, or a baby coming from the womb and not shut your mouth and bow your head at the power and the majesty of God? These are all witnesses. God never leaves himself without witnesses. But when the testimony of his word and of his world are rejected, doesn't bother him too much. He's got other means and methods, which makes me think of Jesus said, if you shut me up and if you shut my followers up, the stones themselves will testify. That's witness. At one time, the enemy of God was a witness. Caiaphas, the high priest of that day, of our Lord's earthly sojourn, testified to the truth when he said it is better for one man to die that the whole nation should perish. To me, that's more remarkable than the stones crying out. God has other means. When nature is shut down and the Word of God is shut down, he sends witnesses and they will be heard. And that's the situation today. Quote, though science never before was so nearly face to face with the God of nature, its devotees shut him out of their hearts and lives. We have never been so progressive, so in possession of these secrets, as deep as we can get into them, of science. And yet, God is shut out of the heart. Though the scriptures, again, have never been more widely circulated. There's a Bible in every hotel room, yet nobody knows about it. So you can say, all we have to do is present the truth. All we have to do is point to the heavens. And yet, men's minds are numbed and dumbed down by the glut of stupidity and misinformation and distracting information. We are in the apostasy. We are in the last days of this eon. And now the time of man is at its pinnacle, at its crisis. We call this in Scripture the day of man, man's day. And man has forced God outside of the realm of his perception. But God is not taken aback. God is not frustrated because God has set us forth as witnesses for now. For the time being, we are his voice in the earth. 2 Corinthians 5, shared this verse with you many times. As of God entreating through us, be conciliated to God. We are living letters. So they can shut down the heavens, they can shut down the word, they can ignore all the advances and get down to the bottom of them to see where these things are coming from. They can do all that, and yet we're in the earth. And this message is going forth on the internet. God has witnesses, but we are going to be removed from this earth. And the apostasy is going to reach its pinnacle, and we're out of here, thank God. What's God going to do then? You think he's worried about it? He has a plan. There are two witnesses that will rise up from the ranks of Israel to testify with spirit and with power. Only two. Well, when Paul was in jail, he said, the Lord alone stood with me. We only need one witness to the truth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the days of Israel's extremity, they will have two. These two witnesses will do mighty works, and they will say mighty words, and they will convict the inhabitants of the world concerning God. The result will be light coming to the earth, and in the extremity, humanity will hear. Not to say that it won't also be a testimony against them to those who even still will reject the truth. But I am heartened today by God's use of witnesses. We are witnesses, just as the stars, just as the scripture. God's two witnesses, two men, literal men, who will go forth on the earth. And wait till you see how they do it. Wait till you see the consistency of God using weakness to confound the strong. Because his two would scatter an army of 2,000,002. Do not doubt me. Do not doubt God. Do not doubt that no matter how bleak and dark things look, there is always a light shining from God upon this earth.